We are looking at a series that is intended to explore what it means to be human. And we're doing that by reflecting on the life of Peter. And this is part two as we go through it together. And last week, I introduced a quote from a gentleman named Kerry Newhoff. And Kerry is a Canadian pastor, or was, and he's an author, speaker. But he often is someone who watches trends that lead churches into the future. And here's the quote that I mentioned last week. I'll say it again. Not only will artificial intelligence be the biggest revolution humanity has ever seen, it will be the biggest disruption we've experienced in our lifetimes and perhaps in human history. Now, this is not a course on artificial intelligence. I had some people come up to me last week and say, what is an algorithm? And I said, I'm not qualified to answer that question. I use the word, but I kind of know what it does. But don't worry about that. Don't worry about the technical terms or those kind of things. This isn't a course in AI. This is a Bible course. And so we're going to try and stay in our lane, but recognize that artificial intelligence, whether we like it or not, whether we resist it or not, is going to impact all of our lives, and already is. Whether we're an active user or a passive user, it's having an impact on our world. And we have an option, either to fear it and hide from it, or to fully embrace it, or maybe to find what it means to be human in the midst of it. And so that's our challenge as we go through this together. Artificial intelligence development is accelerating quickly, and maybe you've noticed that. AI capabilities double every several months. It used to take years. I mean, artificial intelligence started back in the 50s. That might be a surprise to some of you. But they started to play around and see what they could do, and there was pauses put on it in the 70s and 80s and 90s. But then it has accelerated dramatically over these last few years and even few months. There's kind of a hilarious video that you can look up and watch on your own time, not right now, but you can look up and watch about Will Smith eating spaghetti. You won't be disappointed if you put it in. Even a year ago, I think it was, or maybe a little bit longer, they asked AI to produce a video segment of Will Smith eating spaghetti, and it was hilarious and terrible. He had like six fingers, and you could tell it was artificially created, right? But then over the period of the following year, it got better and better and better. Till today, if you watch Will Smith eating spaghetti, it's a thing. I'm not making this up. You will see like him and I think his son sitting at a table. There's different camera angles and shots. And you'd think it was a movie being filmed. And it was all artificially created. So the acceleration of artificial intelligence has some real capabilities, but also some real challenges. As we begin to wonder, how do we discern reality from that which is fake, right? How do we know what is true? My bigger question, though, is this. Given the growing competency of AI and related technologies, what is the value of being human? What does it even mean to be human? And how do we preserve our humanity in the midst of this technological advancement? Here's the bottom line. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not simply, how can I get to heaven when I die? I think many of us grew up with that understanding, that the good news about Jesus was basically, you know, fire insurance, right? We just wanted to know that we're getting to heaven, and once we knew that, well, we just go on living our lives any way we want. And sometimes, even if we don't say that, we kind of live that way. But the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is really about becoming fully and truly human. I don't know if you ever thought about it that way, but that's the invitation, to be human in the way that God intended. We are made in God's image, but as the Bible story unfolds, we realize that that image is marred by sin. And the whole point of Jesus coming is so that we may be remade into that image. That's the whole point of the gospel, is that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus, who is the perfect image of God. And that's what it means to be human. And so that's what we're driving toward. But I also want to look at some practical implications of that, because that's a great theological truth. But what does it mean on the ground level for us to be shaped into the image of Jesus and to become fully human? So I want to read another passage from the life of Peter. And we're going to read today from Matthew chapter 14 and verses 22 to 33. One of my favorite stories, and many of you will recognize it right off the bat. Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." What a great passage. I think we often remember this story as Peter's failure, right? Peter took his eyes off Jesus, looked around at the waves, got freaked out, began to sink. He doubted, and so Jesus needed to rescue him, and we think we would have done better, for sure, right? And so sometimes we think of this passage as sort of a milestone of Peter's failure, and that's partly true. But if we read carefully, Matthew tells the story a little differently. 11 disciples stayed in the boat. Only one got out. That's an important part of the story, isn't it? Peter's story reminds us that being human is not always about playing it safe. It is about risking obedience when Jesus calls. That's part of what it means to be human, and Peter shows that to us. So let's look through the passage briefly and make a few observations as we go through together. And the first observation is this: as we talk about courage, and courage as one of the essential qualities of what it means to be human, we see this. Courage begins with a call. "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come, come." Courage begins with a call. Peter is often accused of being impulsive, and I think sometimes he is. But notice what he actually says. He doesn't jump first and think later. He asks for a word from Jesus. And so Peter's courage is not recklessness. Peter's courage is responsiveness. And we talked about this last week, that idea of being human is responding to God's call in our lives. And that's what Peter is modeling for us again. And I would say that the most important skill that will preserve our humanity is to learn to listen to one another, but mostly to listen for the voice of God. Even Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow." I spent about 8 months in England working with some churches doing missions, and I was only about 19 years old, 20 years old. And one of my favorite things to do was every morning to get up and go for a walk through the fields. Those of you who have been to England, you know you can walk through farmers' fields as long as you remember to close the gate behind you. But often you can go through these beautiful green fields, enjoy the day, if it's not raining, of course, and just marvel at God's creation and his beauty. But But I was 19, remember? So I got bored easily. And there was no Facebook. And so I had to entertain myself. And there were sheep in the field. So I thought, how close can I get to these sheep in order to touch them or something, right? I don't know what I was thinking in my mind, but I was bored. And so I would sneak up on them. I'd try and get to them. As soon as they'd spot me, they would scatter. They would take off. I tried using different voices. I tried to call them. Anybody watching must have thought I was out of my mind. But this is how I entertained myself in the mornings as I walked across the fields. And this one day, I went out and I was watching my antics, but I saw someone standing at the bottom of the field. It was the shepherd. And I don't know if he noticed me or not. But suddenly, he let out this call. Like, I don't know, I don't want to mimic it. It might disturb too many people. But it was a weird, strange voice, a strange call. And all of a sudden, all the sheep looked up and they ran toward him. And it was amazing. Now, he had food in his hand too, right? And so maybe that was part of the incentive. Animals are, you know, driven by instinct. And maybe if I had just had food. But I do think that they recognized his voice and they ran toward the shepherd. And it just has stuck with me all these years of such a beautiful image of what Jesus is saying. My sheep hear my voice. The greatest skill that we can develop is to listen to the voice of Jesus and respond. That's what courage is. And that's what it means to be human as well. How do we hear that voice? We talked about it last week a little bit. All creation declares the glory of God. Night after night, day after day, they pour forth speech. I think creation calls us to worship, right? We also see God's voice in and hear God's voice in Scripture. And Scripture calls us to love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. There's a call there, a call to love. Jesus calls us to follow. There's lots of opportunities to hear God's voice and respond. And we need to cultivate that if we want to be fully and truly human. See, faith is not courage in ourselves. It is confidence in the one who calls us to obedience. And that's what Peter models for us in this story. Here's the reality. Peter steps out because Jesus is already there. And I think that might be an encouragement to us today as we might be facing a decision or something that we have to do in life and we feel fearful. But we feel God calling us into something. The beauty of it is Jesus is already there. And that's what courage is about. Second thing that we observe in this passage is this. Courage moves forward despite fear. Courage isn't the absence of fear. We understand that, right? Courage moves forward despite fear. Then Peter got down out of the boat. The storm was still there. The waves were still there. The wind was still there. Nothing around Peter changed. The only thing that changed was Peter. Notice that Matthew never says that Peter stopped being afraid. He felt fear, but he moved forward in spite of that fear. So courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is movement despite the fear that we have. I came across this phrase. I'm not sure who originally said it, so I'll claim it as my own. If you repeat this to someone, make sure. No, you don't have to put my name. But I think it's kind of cool. It says this. Fear may ride in the car, but courage refuses to let it drive. Right? It's a good one. Maybe I should put my name on that one. Yeah, people are like, oh, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, but that's what it is. I mean, fear is often in the car with us. But courage says, you're not going to drive. There's no way. But so often I think fear drives our reactions in the world to the stuff around us. Courage says, I know you're here, but I'm driving, right? Or better yet, Jesus, take the wheel. There's a song about that, I think. I think many of us have been taught to wait until we feel ready. Wait until the fear passes. Wait until we feel a sense that of confidence building before we take the next step. But the Bible rarely works that way. Have you noticed that? Abraham, when he was called, he wasn't ready right? Moses wasn't ready. Peter wasn't ready, but they moved anyway. They had confidence because Jesus was already there. And so here's the bottom line. To be human is to live courageously despite uncertainty. Do you feel uncertain about the world around you? I do at times. I had a nice break this last week. Both Christine and I went on adventures on our motorcycles, different adventures, and then we met up. And there was a couple of days I was outside of cell range, outside of any human communication, and just riding into kind of the woods. And there's a beauty about that, right? And sometimes you just need to unplug, because when you're bombarded with the news and information and stories, the uncertainty builds. We wonder, what is the future going to be like? How are we going to adapt? And sometimes we have deep, deep uncertainty. But to be human is to live courageously despite that uncertainty. And Peter models it for us again here. Okay, third thing we want to see here. Courage fails forward. It's an important aspect of Peter's life and how he manages this failure. When Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Peter sinks, but remember, Peter walked on the water before he sank, right? The disciples in the boat, they didn't sink, but they also didn't get to walk on the water. Peter's failure occurred because he attempted something extraordinary. He was obedient to Jesus' call to come and walk toward him. And when Peter fails, he fails forward into Jesus. He says, "Jesus, save me," right? Peter fails forward. I think too many Christians, too many of us, fear failure more than we fear disobedience. But Scripture consistently honors those who trust God enough to obey and to risk. John Ortberg is an author, some of you, a pastor as well, some of you might know that name, and I think he has a book with this title, but I love this phrase. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat, right? That's the summary of this story as we've been exploring it together. As Peter is sinking, he calls out to Jesus. He fails forward. And in our attempts, in the risk that we take, when we feel like we're about to fall on our face, we call out, "Jesus, save us." And here's the reality. The grace of Jesus is faster than the failure of Peter. He doesn't die. It says in the passage, immediately Jesus reaches out. And it sounds like he chastises Peter. "Where was your faith, buddy?" But I'm not sure that's the tone. I think Jesus is saying, "Why did you doubt?" It's more a lighthearted comfort as Jesus rescues him from drowning. The grace of Jesus is faster than any of our failure. And that's something to keep in mind. Okay, here's the final thing, final observation that I want to make. And this really is truly the heart of the passage. Courage leads to worship. Then those who were in the boat worshiped Jesus. Peter's act of courage, his act of obedience, led to worship. And the story ends exactly where Matthew wants it to end. Not with Peter, actually, but with Jesus. The miracle is not ultimately about Peter walking on the water. That's part of the story. The miracle is about seeing Jesus more clearly. In the Hebrew imagination, in the mind, as we look through scriptures, water is often the image of chaos. And sometimes water and the sea is the image of evil. And so the fact that Jesus is walking over chaos, walking over evil, and then eventually calms this watery chaos shows who he really is, because only God can tame the chaos. And so that's a revelation that we have in this passage. And really, that's what this passage is all about. Peter's courage leads him and all the others into a deeper revelation of who Jesus is. And so courage is not about proving ourselves. Courage is about discovering Jesus as we go along in the journey. So Peter's story challenges us and challenges our modern culture, which is obsessed with comfort and certainty and control. Technology is wonderful. AI is increasingly powerful. Data can somewhat predict our behavior. But none of these things can eliminate this need for courage in life. Human beings were not created merely to calculate risks. We were created to respond with courage to God's call. And that's what we want to do. As Kerry Newhoff observes, your greatest growth is always on the other side of your fear. I think that is often true. Peter became the leader of the early church because he repeatedly chose courage over comfort. And I think many people hear this story and immediately think about courage being these dramatic acts of faith. Like, I'm not sure Jesus is going to call me to walk on the water or start like a brand new ministry or launch out in some global mission initiative. Remember in college in Scotland, once a week we'd have a visiting missionary and they'd come and tell us all about the great things that they're doing. And they were amazing. Like, we were riveted. They were great storytellers, but they're also doing amazing things. And after every presentation, I was convinced God was calling me to wherever that person was serving. And so I'd go down to the payphone, I'd get out my, you know, my pound coin, I'd pop it in there, I'd call my mom. Mom, I know where I'm going after college. I'm going to Brazil. Mom would say, why are you going to Brazil? Well, there's people in the Amazon that need to hear about Jesus. And I would be all stirred up. Next week I'd call. Mom, I've changed my mind. God is calling me to South Africa. There's people in Soweto that really need to hear. And every week it was like so. And finally, one of my professors took me aside and just gently said, Scott, you know, the need is not the call, right? And that was really important for me to hear that. But I assumed that it had to be something grand, something big. Obedience is something dramatic, something that the superstars of the Christian faith do. But the reality is, courage is often very ordinary. Courage is actually very mundane. We need the courage sometimes to forgive someone, maybe to serve somewhere or serve someone. Maybe we need the courage to give generously or to start a difficult conversation or to invite a friend to church or even just to say hello to our neighbor. Or maybe we need the courage to begin praying again after a time that we've lapsed. Sometimes we just need the courage to step into a new day, even after experiencing great loss. And we just need that quiet courage to put one foot in front of the other. That's what it means to be human. That's what it means to have courage to face the new day, knowing that Jesus is already there. That's courage. Well, let's wrap it up with this. Many people stay stuck because they fear making mistakes. But Peter teaches us that disciples grow through imperfect obedience. So the challenge is this. Maybe we need to stop asking, what if I fail? Maybe we need to start asking, what if Jesus meets me there? What a wonderful promise. Jesus, save me. And immediately he reaches out. And so the question of the text that we've been looking at today is not so much, why did Peter sink? The question is really, why did everyone else stay in the boat when they had an opportunity to walk on the water?